So Yud Zayin Iyar, May 22nd, and we're on page Kufir Aleph, section on Birchos Hanen. He's going through his various fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. So he's going through Bracha for us. We said that Baruch, the statement of Hashem, is the source of all Brachos, and it's a descriptive rather than a well-wishing. Baruch is like Rachel Kanun. We say Atar. It's amazing how we're turning to our Kodesh Baruch Hu B'losha Nocha. Hashem, he spoke about, it's spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's pronounced Adnos. The meaning of Yud Kei Vav Kei is deeper and harder. And we just have that Kavan in mind for the first Pasuk of Kriya Shema. HaYehovah V'yeh, the one who makes everything exist. We pronounce it as Adnos, that's the master of all, that everything, all other creatures are created by him, subservient to him. So now we're up to Elokeinu. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. So Elokeinu is Elokim Shalana. So Elokim is Baal Kol HaKochos, the master of all forces, Mashgiach Aleihem, who oversees them, Osa Bahem Kechefza, who does with them as per his will, Shalit Vashofet, who dominates and judges. Now, Elokeinu is the possessive. Anachnu, Am Yisrael, Zachinu L'Hashgacha HaPratis. We, Kol Yisrael, Zachinu to special Hashgacha, B'Kvius, in a set way. You would describe something as yours if it was a haphazard relationship. Ki Him Lachnu, Aso Yisbaruch Aleinu, because we made him our king over us. So it's our God. It's an amazing thing to be able to describe God as yours. Elokeinu. So Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Hamalei, Hamahaves, Hakol, Manach, Hakol, Velo Moser, Hashgach, Lekoch, Acher, Hashem Hu Elokeinu. I'm not sure what he means. I'm not sure if he's saying that here. Elokeinu is a connotation of accepting him. Hashem Hu Elokim. And if you just say Hashem's name, it doesn't mean you're accepting him as your God. I think he's offering a second intent that it means we're accepting him as God and there's nothing else. You can say God's name, but where's the acceptance of him? I think maybe what he's saying in that second sentence, Hashem Elokim is we're proclaiming, he is it. He's saying our God means we accept him, I think. I'm not sure.
I was a postulator. The idea of one at the very end, our is kind of sort of a multi thing and so forth. It emphasizes at the end a certain unification or everything. You know, all of us, Israel, with Elokim.
No. Yeah, I mean, that is a meaning in Kriya Shema. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The one who's our God is the same one who's the infinite God of everything. So I'm not sure, I don't think that's what he's saying here, though. This is just kind of thing, Hashem Elokeinu. I think he means we're accepting Hashem.
What do you think he means by Hashem Hamola?
I'm sorry?
Hashem Hamola?
Hashem Hamola, the full name. He means the name before this, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is a Mahavas Akol, Manas Akol, the one who.
That was
Katanoi, right? Right. Yud Kei Vav Kei, that was the name before this. Those are actually the words he used.
And that was.
And he didn't give it over to any other force.
That Hashem
is Elokeinu.
He is Elokeinu. Not even Elokeinu. The last three words. But that Hashem. That he didn't give it over to another who Elokim.
Yeah, Hashem Elokim is a pasuk. That's the word that Jewish people use about Eliyahu Har Carmel. It's a phrase of accepting God. You know, there are people who go pagan. You know, they want to accept a God that's smaller. the infinite God is, he's the God. I think that's what he means by Elokeinu. Hashem who's infinite, that's the God we worship, that's the God we accept. Not some other force. Most Avodah Zarah is all driven by feeling the need to make a more personal quote-unquote God with a lowercase g. I think he's addressing the tension that people have a hard time relating to the concept of an infinite God, so they make God smaller. So he's saying another kavana of Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem was the God who we worship, the one who's Elokeinu, the one who we accept. And that's why it's not even so much us, it's the one who is the true God. That's why he uses the word Hashem Elokim, is the infinite God. I'm not going to try to make him smaller, more personal. Other groups have the this God and the that God and this nation's God. No, the infinite God of everything is Elokeinu. Melech ha'olam, Malchus Yisbarach Nikeres Bazesh Yesh Olam V'Umas Olam Asher Gam Aleihem Hushalei. So moving on from Hashem Elokeinu, then we say Melech ha'olam. So what does that add? So he somehow, in order for him to be Melech, you have to say Melech ha'olam. You have to move past Elokeinu. So he's saying his kingship, his dominion is recognizable by the fact that he means that there's a broader world and the other nations of the world, that he's the ruler over them too. So he elaborates. Yisrael heim bebechinas bonim l'Hashem. The Jewish people are in the realm of being his children. U'melech besoch bonav adayin lo nikeres malchuso. A king, when he's among his children, his malchus is not recognizable. Right? A king is sitting with his family, that doesn't make him a king. He's a king when he rules over people beyond his family. So, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu doesn't make him a melech yet. He's melech by the fact that there's a broader world. So melech has to be melech ha'olam, which means outside of Am Yisrael. So that's the first way he addresses it. There's an important kavana. Why don't you just say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech? What's Melech Olam? Because what shows that he's Melech is the fact that there's an Olam beyond Elokeinu Am Yisrael. Oh, or another way of explaining, addressing the same question: why is it Melech Olam? Heim Nechlolim Belokus. This is deeper. It could be you can't say Melech over Klal Yisrael because Kivayachal were included in. Be careful how you say this, but the godliness, Elokeinu, Ki Kutshabrichu v'Yisrael Chadu. The Zohar says that Hashem, the Torah, and Klal Yisrael are one thing. Am Yisrael is Kivayachal like the seed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lochein Elokeinu Eino Malchus. For Elokeinu is not Malchus. Malchus means you rule over something outside of yourself. Hashem is the God of Israel. That's what he is per se. He's God. Melech has to be outside of that. So Elokeinu Eino Malchus El Hashem. When you say the God of Israel, you're saying who God is. And you want to say who he rules over, you have to say someone else. It's a little bit a different way of saying the same thing. Because the first is at like a pragmatic level, and the second is more at an almost theological level. Right? Either we're his neighbor, we're like his family, so you have to move past, in order to say Melech, you have to say over the Olam, or Kiryachol, like part of Hashem, not in any real way, but Am Yisrael is a nation that recognizes and accepts him and is the beneficiary of his special bracha. At some level, we're like part of him. Again, not in any theological or real way, but for Malchus to be beyond that. Malchus Yisbarach Mizgala Batocha Olam Hazeh. His Malchus is revealed within this world. Shagam Teva Umos Olam Einam Metzias Atzmoyes Ala Kol Avadecha. Now he's just elaborating on how indeed his malchus is revealed through Melech Olam, that also nature, Klal Yisrael, is a special providence. that Mos Olam are not his chosen nation. They too are his subjects, so that shows his kingship. Melech Olam. There's nothing independent of him. Now, Chalil, if you're talking about a pagan god, he'd have his nation, and then he'd have his non-adherents, who he doesn't have dominion over. He's talking about some finite force. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech over everything. It is those who he chose to be closer to him, to be part of his Elokus, but everything is subservient to him. Borei, so many brachos on any of you. Borei pri adama, borei min emezonos, borei pri eitz, right? Bria hiyesh me'ayin. When you say borei, it refers to actual ex nihilo creation. Rishis borei elokim. Borei mishamash gam loshem avar. And it also refers to the past. He's summarizing things that the Mefarshim say. So when you say Borei creates, you can mean the creator of, the one who did create in the past, fruits, vegetables, etc. Okay, so now he gave his basic definition.
Borei is
right. The creator of.
The one who's created.
Yeah. There's a theory in Diktuk that really in Lashon HaKodesh there is no Lashon Hova. It's nouns. Right? The word for the creator and the word for creating are the same thing. Ani borei can mean I am creating, and ani borei can mean I am the creator. So, if he's the creator, it covers all the past also. At least with regard to the bracha, the Farsha says that's what it can mean. You could say it's some level in an ongoing way he creates, or it can be referring to, well, he did create everything. Okay, with that introduction, let's see. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Emor al Aharon kach matzkon teyedchel meimei Mitzrayim al narosim val yireim val halgameim val kol mikvei mimeim v'yiyu dam. Farsha says Vayera, when you come to the first of the Makos, Hashem tells Moshe, tell Aaron to take your staff and carry out the plague of blood striking the Nile. Rashi, Lefisha Hagen Hayar al Moshe Kishanishlach Lesocho. Since the Nile protected Moshe when he was cast into it, Lefikach Lo Lok al Yodo. Therefore, it could not be stricken by him. Lo Bedam Velo Betzardeim Velo Karideyar. Not for, so both the Dam and Tzardeya came from the Yar. That couldn't be carried out by Moshe because he was the beneficiary of the Nile when it helped to hide him. Next, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Mal Aharon Teis Mancha V'Haches Afar Haaretz V'Hayilakinin B'Chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Third mark, Kinin. Hashem tells Moshe, tell Aaron to stretch out his staff and strike the dust of the earth to make the light. Rashi, L'Hoya Afar Kedai L'Olkos Adei Moshe. The dust was not deserving to be stricken by Moshe. The fish hagen alav kishargas amitzriyot b'nei b'chol. V'loka yideyara. When he killed the Mitzri aggressor, he was spared being caught because he hid them, he buried them in the dust. So he can't strike the dust. L'lamedcha derech eretz biru deshosis minei al tashti be'kola. Statement of Chazal, this teaches you, it's a Gemara. There are cherets that the well that you drank from, don't throw into it. I'm not sure what color is. If it's a dye, I'm not sure, but you don't contaminate the well that you drank from. Right. Mafliyad hechem chiyav hakarsa tov magia. It's amazing how far the obligation of a Karas HaTov reaches. Shein zechosh of klal mosa HaTov v'margish ba'olol. It doesn't, it's not of importance whether the beneficiary of what you do for it feels it or not. The Nile doesn't know whether Moshe strikes it or not. The dust doesn't know whether Moshe strikes it or not. But we literally have a lachan derech eretz that the Torah goes to pains to show to us. Hashem tells Moshe, tell Aaron. I mean, the way that the makas were carried out was through Aaron. Yeah, it's inexplicable otherwise. Even water and dust, you have to conduct yourself with a karas hatov toward them. Keep it Kishar Shavah Karsa Tov, from the most serious mitzvahs, which is Kibra Va'im, the Chinuch says its root is Akarsa Tov. Farshim say it exists even where there isn't Akarsa Tov, but basically that's the idea of the mitzvah. And Mor Me'ata Kimida Zuhi Mishar Sheh Adam. You have it like an old. Continue tomorrow. Pick up with that. Okay.